Well, I really am thankful that we have so many guests here this morning, and I'm sure most of you are here for Mackenzie's dedication. I don't want to assume that all of you are, but and I have to probably assume that some of you have church homes of your own, but I do want to extend an invitation to those of you that don't, that we have a really warm and welcoming church family here, and if you're looking for a place to be a home base for your spiritual journey, we would love to invite you to be part of ours. So, in your bulletin, it says that we're going to be talking about Jonah part 3, and we left Jonah last time. The whale had vomited him up onto the beach, and so I'm going to leave Jonah on the beach this week, and I'm going to share a little bit out of what God has opened to me through a time of retreat that I just had. I was in Haviland, Kansas, which you don't know where that is probably, and there's good reason for that. It's a small town in Kansas that has a Bible college that I happen to graduate from, and that for me, that's a place of peace. It's a place for me to go and to just rekindle my relationship with God, to rest in His presence, to be refilled so that I can come back and continue to pour out in the area that God's called me to serve. And so I want to share a story with you to start with, though. This is a story of a rabbi named Akiva. Now, Akiva had been in the village to gather some supplies, and he was walking back to his cottage when he absentmindedly took the wrong path. So it's dark, and he's walking back, and he took a wrong turn, and he ends up face-to-face with this young guard. And the guard calls out of the darkness, "Who are you, and why are you here?" Shocked to awareness, Akiva realized that he'd wandered into the Roman military base, and that the voice had come from a young sentry-keeping guard. But being a rabbi, he answered this question with a question. "How much do they pay you to stand guard and ask that question of all who approach?" The sentry, now seeing that he was not an intruder but a rabbi, answered gently, "5 drachmas a week, sir." At that point, the rabbi replied, "Young man, I will double your pay if you come with me and stand in front of my cottage and ask me that question each morning as I begin my day. Who are you? And why are you here?" That question is probably more powerful than I ever could have imagined with so many guests here this morning. But I want to those of you that are regular attenders, I don't want to let you off the hook, because that question isn't just for the guests, it's for you too. Who are you, and why are you here? Each one of us has to answer that question as the journey of life unfolds. Whether we call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior now or not, that's a vital question for our existence. But those of us that have chosen to put our trust and faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that question carries even more significance. Who are you, and why are you here? Recently, our leadership team, our ministry and council, we have been praying and seeking God's leadership and vision for where He's calling Bangor Liberty Friends to. What does He want our church to look like? And as I thought about that vision statement over my retreat, I realized that that vision statement isn't just for Bangor Liberty Friends Church. This vision statement is for God's church. I actually read it one of the times as I was sitting in prayer in my retreat, and I read it, and then I said, "Duh." And you'll probably see why when I share it with you. Our vision statement is to become fully committed apprentices of Jesus Christ. Duh. I hope that's why you're here. I hope that's why you choose to worship the Lord, because you want to become fully committed to Him. Now, with that being said, maybe that's not why you're here. Whether you're a visitor or a regular attender, maybe that's not why you go to church. Maybe it's for some other reason. Maybe you've gone your whole life. Maybe if you don't, Grandma will get mad at you. I don't know why you come. I don't know why you choose to go to church. But the bottom line is, when you go to church, when you choose to be part of a gathered community of Jesus Christ, the purpose is to become fully committed apprentices of Christ. That's the purpose. And if that's not why you're there, I have a feeling you're going to be very disappointed. And I think people find themselves in that place. They go to church and they become disappointed. Because their vision and their mission in their personal life doesn't necessarily line up with where God's going and what God wants to do. A lot of times we go into things like church or other things with our own preconceived notions in mind, with our own thoughts. This is my vision, this is my mission, and it doesn't necessarily line up with what God's doing. To become fully committed apprentices of Jesus Christ. So to ask that question, who are you and why are you here? I can answer the why are you here this morning. Maybe that's not why you think you're here, but now that you're here, you fall under that umbrella. Everything we do at this church points us to the direction of becoming fully committed apprentices of Jesus Christ. And I'll say it again, if that's not why you're here, you're going to be disappointed. Because everything we do focuses that direction. Who are you and why are you here? Now let's take a step back now. Let's take a step back. We know why you're at Bangor Liberty Friends. So let's take a step back. Why are you, if you have chosen Jesus as your Lord and Savior, why? Who are you and why are you here in terms of your walk with Jesus? The answer to that question has to be about grace. It has to be about grace. And just like if your answer to why are you here isn't to become a fully committed apprentice of Jesus, if your answer to why you're walking with Jesus isn't grace, you're going to be disappointed. If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, I want to look at the story that's often called the story of the prodigal son, but in this context, we're going to call it the story of two sons. Because I believe that the second son's journey has more to say about this question of who we are and why we're here than the first, maybe. Luke chapter 15. I'll briefly summarize the first son, and then we'll read in detail the second son's part of the journey. So the first son, we're all familiar with the prodigal son. He goes to his father. He's kind of a rotten brat, I'll just say it. And he says, "Dad, give me what's mine. Give me my inheritance now. I know you're not dead yet, but I kind of wish you were. Give me what's mine, and I'm going to go do with it what I want." So the father obliges his son and gives him his share of the inheritance. The son then goes off to the big city and squanders it on alcohol and prostitutes and ends up living with the pigs. And as he's sitting there wallowing in his own filth, he thinks to himself, "Even my father's servants lived better than I'm living now." And so he reasons in his mind that if I go back to my dad and I submit to him and just say, "Dad, just give me a job as a servant, at least I'll have a warm bed to sleep in and food on the table." Well, we all know that as he's still far off, his father sees him and has mercy on him. There's not going to be any of this, my son being a slave business in my house. And so his father runs to him to meet him on the road. And he calls to the servants and he says, "Bring him a robe, bring him sandals, bring him a ring. My son is returned." He restores his sonship right then and there, no questions asked. The son had wandered and he'd returned, and without question, the father said, you're my son, you're not a slave." So the father tells the servant, "Let's kill the fattened calf, it's time to party, my son's home." And that's where we pick up the story. So if you want to look at starting in verse 25. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has returned who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours.'" So let's look at the second son. The first son goes and blows his father's inheritance, comes back ready to be a slave. The second son never left home. The second son was a diligent worker, worked in the field day and night, following in his father's footsteps, expecting that one day he would be rewarded for his obedience. He doesn't ask for his inheritance, stands by his father while the other brother leaves. Then he's working in the field one day and he hears a party. What's going on? Hey, your brother's home. And your dad's throwing a party. It's time to celebrate. The second son doesn't move an inch. He's immediately filled with anger. What do you mean he's celebrating? Doesn't he remember what he did? I've been here the whole time. Working, slaving away. I don't even get a little party, a little celebration. He doesn't even give me streamers and balloons to have a birthday party. That's basically what he's saying. Kind of whining a little bit. So the older son finally shares his angry feelings with his father. Do you think this is the first time the older son was angry? Do you think every day that he worked in the field thinking about his brother out there blowing his inheritance, you don't think he was angry? He finally comes to terms with his anger and he reveals his true feelings to his father. This parable is really a story of two sons. The younger one leaves physically, loses his inheritance, lives recklessly. The older one is more diligent, but he leaves spiritually, emotionally. He's disconnected. His body is physically present, but his heart is living recklessly, filled with anger, filled with rage, but covering it up with his work ethic. So how does a son fail to be a son and become a slave? It happens the same way that someone comes to a place that is dedicated to helping people become fully committed apprentices of Jesus Christ and yet fails to become just that. It happens the same way. We come here and we understand the abstract idea of gathered community of body of Christ. We understand abstract idea of it. Obviously, we're here to worship God. Obviously, we're here to grow in our faith. Obviously, we're here to deepen our spiritual understanding and connection with our Lord and Savior, abstractly. But somewhere along the way, we lose the application of that. And I would suggest to you, it's because a lot of us find ourselves in the same place as that second son. God, we've worked for you. God, I'm here every Sunday. Where's my party? Where's my goat? Where's my experience? God, I've been coming to this church my whole life, and this person that's only been here for 3 months has this great relationship with you. Where's my experience? We become angry. We become disillusioned. It wasn't until the point that the second son owned and became vulnerable with where he truly was that he experienced the truth of the way the Father saw him. If you want to connect with God, you have to be willing to be undone before God. If you want to connect with God, you have to be willing to be undone before God. A lot of churches, maybe not on purpose, but this is the message that gets communicated. Our relationship with God is a surface relationship. Read your Bible, pray, go to church. If you do those three things, you have a relationship with God. What other relationship in our existence would survive based on those three elements? None. It's more than just fulfilling obligations. It's about connecting with someone in a deep way, in a personal way. And we can't do that if we're not real. We can't do that if we're not vulnerable. It wasn't until that second son admitted to his dad, "I'm angry. I'm an angry person. This business that my brother did and now you're happy with him and we're celebrating, I don't like that." He couldn't put on his good Christian face anymore and say, "Well, praise the Lord, my brother's home. To God be the glory. couldn't do that anymore. He was angry. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We're angry, or we're frustrated, or we're depressed, or we don't understand, we're confused. And we pray as if everything is okay. I was on a retreat one time, and the person that was leading said, I want you to pray how you feel. I want you to be real in your prayer today. So if you're feeling selfish, pray selfishly. If you're feeling angry, pray angry. If you're frustrated, pray frustrated. Stop going to God like you think He wants you to be, and go to God how you really are. It was the most freeing experience in prayer I've ever had. Because finally I was that second son admitting to God, I'm angry. And it wasn't until I was able to go to God with who I really was that I was able to hear, Manny, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. How reassuring are those words? Whether you've been walking with God a day or your entire life, to hear from God, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours, are some of the most sweet and beautiful words you can ever hear. So I would challenge you and encourage you, if you've never spent time being undone before the Lord, and what I mean by being undone is just going to Him as you are. Maybe you're an idolater. Maybe with your mouth you say, I'm a Christian, but in your life there are other things that take priority over God. Go to God as the idolater. Maybe you struggle with lust. Maybe you can't keep your eyes and your thoughts to yourself. Well, don't pray like you don't struggle with lust. Go to God out of that reality. Are you angry? Are you depressed? Are you frustrated? Go to God out of that. Because when we go to God and put on this facade and pretend that we're something we're not, and we pretend like we have it all together, we don't connect with Him. We build a barrier between us and God. And because we have free will, God knows us, but He can't penetrate that barrier. We don't allow Him in. There's a reason that clothing is so significant in Scripture. We have to become naked before the Lord so that He can clothe us. Go back to Adam and Eve. They sinned. God's first work of grace in their life was to give them clothes. The first son comes back to his father. I imagine he didn't smell very good. He's rolling around with the pigs. First thing his dad does, get my son a robe, some sandals, and a ring. Clothe him in the robes of a son. And that's what Jesus Christ desires to do in your life. To stand before Him and be undone. To have all of that stuff that you put on to function in the world, to look whole, taken off of you, to be broken before Him and naked and vulnerable so that He can clothe you in the clothing of a son and daughter. In His robes of righteousness, to wash you clean in His blood, to forgive you, to say, I meet you where you are. I meet you in your brokenness. I meet you in your anger. I meet you in your lust. Now let's go forward from there. That's the beauty of the story of the second son. It's not until we meet God from where we truly are that we experience, I am always with you and everything I have is yours. Now, I wasn't paying attention when we brought Mackenzie up and I asked you if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, say we do. I can't read everybody's lips. I don't know what your relationship with Jesus Christ is like. There's a lot of people here I don't know. There's a lot of people here that I do know. And the reality is, I can't judge your heart. Only God can. But I do know that you're here for a reason this morning. And so whether you've been walking with Jesus your entire life, or whether you don't even know what that feels like, I would invite you to be that second son this morning. To just take some time to be undone before the Lord. To become vulnerable. To confess to Him where you truly are. Not where you think He wants you to be, but where you truly are. Not wielding your devotion, God, I pray every day. Not that. Where's your heart? And allow Him to speak that truth into your life. I am always with you. And everything I have is yours. So I would just invite you to take the next minute to just allow His Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. Where are you? Where's your heart this morning? And I'll close in prayer in just a moment. Lord, I'm reminded of the little cliche that you meet us where we are, but you love us too much to leave us there. And while that's fun to say and maybe it means something to us, the reality is that that's the truth of your relationship with us. Even before we come before you, even before we are willing to be undone, you love us. But out of that love, you want to challenge us to a better life. To an abundant life, to experience you in a real and a deep way, to go beyond the surface of church attendance, and to really walk with us in relationship. And Lord, I don't know where people are at in their walk with you, but I pray that you would just meet them where they are right now. As they become vulnerable before you, as maybe for the first time they admit to you where their hearts are, that you would remind them that you are with them and that everything you have is theirs. Lord, continue to work in our lives. I'm thankful for your patience, that you continue to desire us even when we are undesirable. And I'm thankful, Lord, that our worth to you is not based on our loveliness, but it's based on the loveliness of your Son. So, Lord, I pray that we put our faith in that and live out of that reality. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would just encourage you that this is not a one-and-done thing. Just like Mackenzie's dedication is not a one-and-done, we don't dedicate Mackenzie to the Lord and then continue to live life as we have always lived life. And we don't allow ourselves to be undone before the Lord and then continue to live life as we've always lived life. This is the starting block of a new chapter in life. For Mackenzie, her parents, her grandparents, and us as a church have dedicated ourselves to helping raise her up in Christian truth. And as you allow yourself to be undone before the Lord, you are dedicating your life to become a fully committed apprentice of Jesus Christ. To allow Him to start taking pieces of your life day by day until you become fully His and that everything He has becomes yours. So if you are a visitor today and you are looking for a new church home, like I said, we would love for this to be it if you so desire. I would love to talk with you if that's the case. And I'll invite our song leader up to close us, and thank you for being here.